New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey, this is Rebecca Lieb.
This is Jason Horton.
And you're listening to Vanderpodcalypse Now, the premier Vanderpump Rules recap podcast.
One of the top 700 Vanderpump Rules-based podcasts.
That's
top
right.
700.
That's right.
We dipped below
not
700 for not a bit brag. There, but now we're back. We're back. We're number 686. Not
Woo!
Bad. Not bad. Woo! You got a lot of choices, but we're glad you chose this one right this minute. Unless you're shutting this off, then...
Yeah, then...
We don't
damn.
Blame you.
Yeah, but I'm a little sad, even though I shouldn't be, because... The world is full of garbage.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Yes.
And this is no different because we're on season 11, episode 8 of Vanderpump Rules. It's called Peaks and Valleys because this is the much anticipated, somewhat anticipated, vaguely anticipated Valley backdoor pilot.
Yeah.
Which
was jarring for me.
I hate when they do this. They did this with Summer House too, way back when. Don't just do two episodes.
But Vanderpump Rules is also...
A backdoor pilot. Yeah. But I... It's weird because I'm not even sure that that exists anymore as a backdoor pilot.
How many times have you said backdoor?
Backdoor,
so
backdoor, backdoor. No, I know it was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And then we kind of see a little bit of Vanderpump. But I and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that that is still out there.
Yeah.
We have the Vanderpump pilot. Which is kind of a fully formed pilot.
We should go back to that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Fucking any time. In fact, it's probably the episode I most go back to because it is the pilot of the show that I'm obsessed with. Anyway, so they're trying it again. They've done it for a couple different shows where we just kind of surge into the world of the Valley from this show that we know and somewhat love. And let me tell you, it's not seamless. It's not.
Is it telling that we're starting this off with the last 1 minute of the episode?
I think it's like people don't, and I didn't even think this was going to happen this way. When people say that, like, you know, the Valley premieres, I didn't think it would be like in the episode. You know, I thought it was going to be a separate episode, and I thought the use of backdoor pilot is like kind of more of like a saying, you know, like a saying than it is an actual thing where you're like, oh, I've been hijacked. My TV has been hijacked by the deep North Hollywood, unstable, like 40 something patrol of.
Some would say bait and switch.
Yeah, some would say. I would say. But I will say, okay, this episode gives a little bit. We begin Vanderpump Rules, not the Valley, in Marina Del Rey at Sheena and Brock's. They're picking out dresses, and then we move to the Valley Village apartment complex where Schwartz lives, where Joe, we start this episode off right with some Joe, thankfully, because now that we have Joe, I don't want to give her back.
Well, this is I'm sure people have noticed that she had a Instagram reel that she took down.
Oh,
kind of celebrating Schwartz, and it was, you know, she commented a lot on it, and you know, I think it was, you know, in fairness, you know, even she said, she's like, how are you going to judge somebody 10 minutes on a show and mm-hmm. base like what's the nature of whatever their relationship is or isn't. And I think that's really fair. But mm-hmm. also it's like that's part of the maybe the price.
Yeah, that, that's what you kind of get. But also I've seen a lot of Reddit comments from people who were at Schwartz and Sandy's around the time that they had this fling, quote unquote, and that said that she was an absolute monster and like was like, I'm Tom Schwartz's girlfriend. Like you'll see me like
yeah, I'm sure there's being, two sides to this.
Yeah.
Story.
I mean, and again, I love that. That's what we need. We need Kristen Doty. We need our Kristen Doty 2.0, not the Valley version, which we will see later. But like this is the energy, this chaos is what we need. And especially with Schwartz, because Schwartz really facilitates chaos. In a way that, like, on his own, you know, he's kind of like a flop.
Michelle, my wife, Michelle, mm-hmm. she said that she kind of, just from all the years of seeing me or us do mm-hmm. Improv and sketch, oh, she's like, this reads like improv sketch
Ooh,
person, right?
Yeah.
It was a little, it was like that
she's
kind
like,
of.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Like a lot of faces.
Yeah.
Like,
tall grays. Tall grays.
Yeah. Like, I'm a freaking, I'm random.
Jenny McCarthy. Jenny McCarthy. But. Like a fucking Jenny McCarthy that we need right now.
Yeah.
But not
this
the
is
one
our Jenny McCarthy.
This is our.
I mean, it was my
deserve.
Jenny McCarthy back when it was Jenny McCarthy. Now no longer my Jenny McCarthy.
This is a post-COVID, post-9/11
yeah.
apocalyptic Jenny McCarthy from Wisconsin. And we deserve what we get. In Burbank, it's hot. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't even talk about Joe. She's got lower third. It's Tom Schwartz's friend who doesn't live with him. This show is already giving her the worst edit ever, which, again, I appreciate. But she's like, oh, your face mask isn't working. No, she's like ribbing him. She's like, you know, she's got another trucker hat. We have another. How many trucker hats? Does she just have her room is just filled with trucker hats? Leather. They're mesh. They're plastic. They're every color in the rainbow. Joe's trucker hats.
Hey, listen, merch.
Merch, baby. Or as she would say, oh, merch, baby.
Yeah.
Later.
I call it Jerch. Joe Jerch. Merch.
That's great. For hairstyles, this is an interesting choice, but I am here for it. At Tom and Ariana's, a party is brewing. Anne is helping, doing, you know, pouring drinks, whatever. Also, this burlesque-looking woman is there, too. The strange world of Tom's post-Scandoval friends continues.
I'm not convinced they're not AI. I'm sure they're lovely people, and they probably are. But AI, I mean, listen. If it's happening, it's happening right now.
More
are,
like,
are
ay, ay, ay.
You're a little Joe. You're a little Joe today.
I find inspiration in Joe.
Yeah.
I love her. Ariana is upstairs talking to Katie, making fun of the pool party, which is the right move because it's dark already and there's only two people there. Kyle Chan and Schwartz arrive. Don't worry. They ask immediately, like, did Ariana sanction this party? And Tom Sandoval is like, yeah. And like, who cares?
You already showed up, though.
Yeah, you're... Upstairs, Katie tells Ariana that she's going to dinner with Lala. Ariana's optimistic about it. Ariana, you know, sneaks out of the house while everyone is taking shots. Bye. Katie goes to the Henry where she does meet Lala. Lala looks like she's at a job interview. Of course, Katie orders her sparkling. Did you order me sparkling, babe? Are you trying to soften me up? For what?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what.
Wait, I don't.
I thought I missed something.
It's like, what, you can't order water? Like, apparently, like, every message. And also, like, should Lala really be pissed? Not really. But
yeah.
Lala does say that Katie has been acting like her enemy. She's not good with that. Both agree that they've hit below the belt and they've been kind of dirty friends, not very good to each other. But in Lala's talking head, she says that Katie has been her ride or die, and she's trying to soften things, so she's open to it. But of course, Katie is still a hardened bitch, and she is evolving differently than her ride or die, I guess.
I'm not mad at it. It's the most I've liked Katie since the show,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I love when Katie fights.
Yeah.
I love when Katie...
sticks to her guns.
Yeah, well, that's. I think that's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
I like when Katie's like, I'm right. When Katie's right, and she's right, and she fucking keeps going, like... Love it. Love it. We see it a little bit later with Sandoval, too. The conversation is mature and productive, kind of boring at the end. Katie says she'll try to be softer. That hardness is her toxic trait. Lala worries that there'll be a point where they'll say something too hurtful and there won't be anything to come back to. I hope so. Let's see it. Let's see it. Let's do it. Let's go there. Let's find out. Meanwhile, at Tom and Ariana's, someone is topless. Someone is topless in this Valley Village pool. Can you imagine making the decision at a Reality Stars pool party, poorly attended pool party, that people are pouring plastic shots to one another. Billy Lee is there to take your top off.
It seems like it's going to be a music video that somebody who had money like paid for is like, I'm going to be a rocker. I'm a rapper.
Yeah.
And here's the music video and there's like girls in the pool, bikini girls. That's sort of the vibe I got.
This is how we start. But we start with someone taking their top off and it only goes to quiet discussion and everyone dispersing from there. It's not like we're like, we ramp up and everyone's getting
fucked up. They ramp down.
They peaked and ramped down.
They're like, it's 1:15 p.m.? Tops off.
One person.
I know. She was like, oh, no one else? Oh. All right. Whatever.
She gets cold immediately and like puts her top back on and then leaves. Anyway, Schwartz is also leaving. He's weirded out by this whole thing. Schwartz doesn't have any right to be weirded out by anything that has happened past or present, but he's drawing a line in the sand now.
He makes kind of like a celebrity appearance. I feel like he just makes an appearance.
Yeah, I guess so. But he's like, oh, I don't want to be a part of this. It's like you're already complicit in everything that's happened up until this point. Like, all right, you're on your high horse, but like, sure. Billy Lee is there. Billy Lee is in love with Tom Sandoval. Sure, she's like full of wonder. She's just very in awe of this man who's such a piece of shit. Anything.
It's called loyalty.
Oh, yeah?
Look it up.
Uh-oh. This is pretty deeply loyal. She introduces her friend T, who's really having no fun at this part. T's just like, great. Like, I'm here. My feet are in the water. She's not even in the pool. Her feet are in the water. All right. But the girls that Sandoval have invited have arrived. Melissa, a woman named Melissa.
Two more AIs. I'm telling you. It's just two more AIs. I mean, they're just like, I'm sure lovely people have their own thing going on. They look like AIs.
They are tall grays. They're Joe's tall grays. For me, they looked like two 20-year-olds that I went to college with. You know, they're like the hottest girl at my giant Midwestern public school. Mm. You know, and they came there, and is Sandoval drinking or not? Yeah. I need to know. Like, he's taking shots and he has beers, but then other times he's not drinking, which is a fine choice. You can do both these things, but also he's made very clear and in this episode that he's not drinking. But then we see him, like, rip shots and stuff. I'm like, all right, you're a fucking liar. What, am I surprised? No. Anne is also doing her part. She's handing out shots herself. She's always working. Always working.
Anne, I mean, we'll talk more about what Anne's doing. But I feel like, as an assistant, she should be somebody who's the conduit to get someone to serve. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like the liaison. Like, yes, I will say the coordinator.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the doer of.
Yeah. No. But she's hunched down by the pool, giving people.
I think somebody patted her on the head. I remember I saw that and I was like, what? I'm sure the person didn't mean anything by it, but I'm just so annoyed. But I was just kind of like, it seemed a little bit like demeaning. It's like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, like, every second of Anne's life is demeaning.
This scenario, Anne's the star.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
You're like just a person.
You're a large man in a pool drinking a Bud Light.
Yeah. I feel somebody patted her on the head. I don't know what it was.
It's such a weird, dark party. The Midwestern twins take a shot with Tom Sandoval and his friend Israel, who looks like he's 50. We've never seen this man before in our lives. And Sandoval chooses to cheers the women with the phrase, to staying positive and testing negative. Great.
That's really
great.
I mean, that's like, sure, but it's also like... Gross.
It's like, are you in Cabo circa 2002?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to go missing in Cabo? Are
you at the saddle ranch? Missing?
I know. I'm just like, fucking gross. It's like, feels like when I first moved to LA and it was like West Hollywood, like low rise jeans and like Brett Michaels, you know, which I love. Listen, I love it, but I'm just like,
are you trying
to have sex? Yeah. Or like, what are you trying to do here?
Here's to it. Like, I don't know if it's going to happen, but all we can do is hope.
Clever. Yeah. You know?
Backdoor pilot. He's a backdoor pilot, isn't he?
He's a backdoor pilot for sure. Israel just goes straight in and asks girls if they have husbands.
Hey, listen.
And Sandoval says he'll probably be married by the next year. Then he asks the girls if they go to Burning Man. Tells them all kinds of great tidbits. Really a master of conversation. He says he lives with Ariana and that he jokingly locks her in a room, crushes potato chips, and shoves them under the door to feed her. I was like... Damn, this man is worse. I keep thinking, this is worse than I thought. This is worse than I thought. Then I'm like, this is worse than I thought. Obviously, problem for many reasons, deranged things to say. Also, he mentions that he met these girls at Sir. And so they, I assume, know who Tom Sandoval is.
Why do they keep doing this?
You know?
Why do they pretend like they're just this some, oh, it, what are all these cameras doing here?
You know
what
I mean? Huh, who are you?
You don't have to lie to us
anymore. Whose house is this? Oh, and it's like, so the, really the darkest thing that's happening is not what he's saying or like why he's saying it. It's that these women are pretending that they don't know who this person is and that they're like here for any other reason.
Don't insult us.
Come on.
It's season 48.
We're geniuses. Yeah. The other thing is maybe that they're just paid extras, which we'll just, you know,
we would have paid them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But who wants to see us there?
I'll go topless in that pool for 2 seconds.
I'll go bottomless. I pay extra.
Bravo.
For that.
Yeah. Bravo if you're listening. Anyway, Sandoval wants to get back out there, but he's not acting like a lunatic. This is such a painful.
And he's also, we know he's been, who's?
He's been fucking and sucking before he's like, oh, the past 12 years. And I'm like, bitch, you've been fucking people since before we've seen you on TV.
Yes.
You know, like, I don't know who you're trying to fool. You and your cadre of Craigslist roommates, Tom Schwartz and Jax Taylor, have been keeping each other's secrets. You have been fucking doing whatever you wanted to under this veil of brotherhood. Nobody believes this. Why should we? You know, so like you being like, you think this is your awkward storyline of like getting back out there when it's like, no, you're just, your life is lying, as you said, you know, and you're just trying to perpetuate this like thing that nobody believes. So good on you for being absolutely not self-aware whatsoever. The next morning, Anne is cleaning up and Ariana is out and about. She's looking cute in her little pink two-piece. She says Sheena's coming over. Ariana in her talking head says, what exactly is Anne's job description? I'll answer that. It's essentially to be Schwartz with more cleanup and less shot.
That's
and more.
She shouldn't be. She should be. Yeah, sure. As an assistant, you know, you find a housekeeper.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, a service that, that does that, not the one doing it.
No. And it's like, okay, so you're his personal assistant and you do. And I as someone who's been that, which we're going
and
to.
And there's nothing wrong with doing that work, but I feel like there should be a delineation of what your job is.
Yeah.
But maybe, listen, there's probably a ton of nuance. Who am I to say?
Again, I hope she's getting $300,000 a year. Doing
a day.
This shit. A day, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Anne tells Tom that Sheena's coming over, and then Anne goes back into the mines to clean up Tom's filth. Sheena arrives in her own little power suit blue toothpiece.
Yeah.
I don't know. They both look great. They both are like, ugh, this is a fucking mess from a...
It's a mess, but it's also a boring mess.
Yeah,
it's
not
like one folded towel, three chips.
I know, it's a pile of towels. It's not like a Vegas mess that they used to make, where you're just like, there's 14 Red Bulls and like
blood.
Lines of cocaine.
Yeah,
exactly. This is a dumb, like fucking hummus.
Kids party.
I don't need to see hummus
anymore. It's like a kids party, but like boring kids.
Is it better or worse than Tom Sandoval's own birthday party from earlier this season?
I feel like there was less chips in this one.
So worse?
Worse, I guess.
Worse. Ariana tells Sheena that she's going to host her own thing, a game night. It's not a sexy singles pool party, but it's just games. Fine. Ariana asks Sheena to talk to her about her feelings. She says that, quote, people are saying that you're upset with me. Sheena is like, don't want people to put shit in my mouth. Like, don't put words in my mouth, Lisa Vanderpump, which she has. Also Lala. But they talk about it, and we get a flashback of Lisa saying that Sheena is upset about Ariana doing Dancing with the Stars, which again, please explore this because this is very funny. And Ariana says that she was scouted and she was taking dance lessons and she was like in the mix for the cast. And then Ariana tells Lisa Vanderpump, she's like, so I should have breached my NDA and told her?
It's I don't understand. There's a professionalism in. You know, we know. Sometimes things happen and you don't tell people until they're real.
Yeah, but Dan does know. And as Sheena's picked him up from the airport, which she talked about last episode. So, like, there's a point where, like, people did know.
Yeah, and I think she owns up to it, though.
Yeah, she does.
She probably should have said something.
Yeah. So, who knows? Maya is in the corner of this whole thing. This dog is, like, upright, just, like, watching them and just, like, watching this conversation. It's looking very, very cute. More Maya, please. Sheena says that you never told me that you got it. And again, she was training for it. She said she had a good cry. This conversation goes also pretty well. Ariana wants to trust that Sheena can be honest with her and not just honest with other people. And then in Sheena's talking head, she says Ariana used to be her person, but now she isn't receptive to, her feelings. Yeah, I'm going to say that one more time. She isn't receptive to her feelings. Got it that time. But how? I mean, I think Ariana's being pretty, like, normal in that she is taking
Ariana's in. Being so normal. And you'd think that Sheena was the one who was in the scandal.
Yeah.
And Ariana's the one who was just a bystander of it.
Ariana's pretty – and I lose sight of that because I do want to be like, oh, Sheena's hurt. I don't know. She can talk about being hurt. But you forget that Ariana is the one that was fucked so royally by this whole situation. And she's nodding, listening to Sheena talk about crying. You know, like, she's like, I hear you. Like, I don't know how much more she could be generous – to Sheena about this. This also hasn't happened that long ago. This is still, we're still like 3 months into this.
The dust
whole
is
thing.
Still up. The dust is not, I mean, it may have settled in real time, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is just Sheena being jealous that she's not Ariana.
I think,
you know?
I mean, if I had to guess, you know, somebody who's, you know, in the world of like, you know, whatever, marketing and promoting and brand and constantly and optics, she just wants to say Dancing with the Stars as many times on camera as possible,
Dancing
right?
with the Stars.
I mean, right? That's that's the goal. And whatever. I mean, listen, I'm sure you know what you're doing. And if that works, that's great. But that's the purpose.
Yeah.
Campaigning. You're constantly campaigning.
Which is fine. Like, again, it's fine.
But if they're
fine.
Not going to compete against each other, right, then that's not interesting.
I mean, nobody really cares. Yeah. And really, nobody really cared that Sheena did it actively. I don't think I know any Vanderpump Rules stars that were like, I'm sitting down watching Dancing with the Stars every single episode. You know, like, it's a thing that was like a benchmark in Ariana's career that was great. But I don't think it mattered that. I mean, it did matter in that she got pretty far.
Yeah.
But
could people watch that show? Yeah, it's for individuals, but they also watch it on a whole, right?
Yeah.
Like, they watch the whole thing. So it's one part of something that's, it's not, you know, just you.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, all right. But then Sheena throws out a hypothetical. Let's say years from now, I were to come to you and see Sandoval has become a completely different person, and I would maybe become his friend again. How would you feel?
And by years from now, I mean tomorrow.
Literally yesterday.
Yeah.
And we get a talking head of Ariana who breaks it down, who says what we're all thinking. Sheena is 100% going to be friends with Tom Sandoval again.
Sure.
And she's trying to soften the blow when this becomes a reality. Exactly. And so we're back in the scene, and Ariana's just, like, looking at Sheena, being like, mm-hmm. She's actually being very diplomatic.
She is. You know, I mean, it's really hard to, like, her and Katie, it's really hard to, like,
knock
them.
It's hard to find fault. Yeah.
Yeah, you really can't.
You
at
know?
Least right at this moment.
And Ariana says, she says that she would side-eye her in a, not in a judging way, but in a you're in danger girl way. And that's it. That's all we get from Ariana, which is interesting, because I'm like, if there were more, they probably wouldn't have cut it off. I want to hear more. I want to hear her be like, well, you wouldn't be my friend because I'm on a different path. But she does not say that she will not be Sheena's friend. So
I guess there's no reason to actually say it yet because nothing – it's all hypotheticals. Mm-hmm. So why show your hand when you don't – in a hypothetical?
Yeah. I mean, I just – I want – I mean, and Ariana deserves to be mad because Sheena has always been like, you're my ride or die, blah, 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 bullshit. I want to see this all go down. I'm glad we're setting this up now. And now – we go to Echo Park, literally in this podcast's backyard. This is the park that is close to where we are all the time.
Well, yeah, this is right in your like neck of
my
the
neck
woods.
Of the woods.
I really
I
felt
know.
Like they. I literally drove past it to come where we are right now, but it's very close to where we record Ghost Town.
Yeah, and I will also say I'm there. I would say 4 to 5 times a week walking my dog. I've never once seen Schwartz there. Never once seen him in his happy place. So take that.
So they're a little Echo Parker. I liked seeing it.
Yeah, it was fun. And they do the things that you do there. You get a coffee. You go on the swan boats. You walk around. It's very datey when you're with someone you are fucking. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Joe is doing baby talk to Schwartz. And again, they are on kind of a date, you know? Joe says she went surfing this morning and there were a lot of sharks out.
Haven't 43? 900? How many is a
everything,
lot?
It's like everything about this woman. She's a living cartoon. So can you imagine also your day starting? You go surfing, but you can't surf that much because there's too many sharks out. Then you go to film a reality scene with your not boyfriend across town in a place that you've never been. But you look like she still looks like she's surfing. She's wearing another trucker hat and some kind of black lace, like, wetsuit top and, like, these big purple shorts.
It's the jerch. It's the Joe merch.
She's looking fucking nuts. I love it. I love it. In his talking head, Schwartz is wearing his own weird merch, speaking of which, a kind of bedazzled cowboy shirt. This is as flashy as Schwartz gets without just being in a straight-up suit. And the producer is like, dude, this is kind of looking like a date. Classic Schwartz. He said, hey, I could probably marry Joe and be happy, but I don't want that right now. I mean, I do, but I don't. It's like, you're such a piece of shit. This is what I hate about Schwartz. This is like prime fucking hateability, because he's like, oh, I could do these things. And you know what? I'm going to act like these things are true. And I'm going to do all of these things in action and engage with this person in the way that I want to. But I'm not going to put any labels on it. I'm going to say I don't want this thing. I'm going to tell, you know, communicate verbally completely differently than I am in action. Because literally, had they been together the past 3 days in Vanderpump Rules time?
I'm sure he's like, well, we've already had sex, so that's kind of done. And if anything, if I want something public, it's going to be someone that I find is whatever, younger, hotter, different.
Which is true. I mean, like, now that he's dating, we don't know for sure, but he's been seen around with this TikTok star who's like 22 years old. But at the same time, it's like, this is the woman that you have been, she's living with you at this point in the show. You know, you hang out all the time. You look like you have a lot of fun with this person. You guys, like, fucking, you know, binge drink, do shots and drink brews together.
I mean, it's fun, but it's based on alcohol, right? Or drugs, yeah. whatever they're doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, probably. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, you're just a this situation is so familiar because I've been in it and so many women. This is such like an L.A. Peter Pan.
I've never done that to – in Los Angeles? Me? I've never done that to another person.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what you're talking about. I've never
no.
I've never not said something. Technically, I'm not lying. I didn't say that was happening. I didn't say that it wasn't. I technically didn't sign on for anything.
Uh-huh.
But my actions and my personality and my vibe says something different.
Mm-hmm.
But, Your Honor,
mm-hmm.
please
never
the court and the journey and the jury, I never said it or did it. So
yeah, you've like gone on many dates and had sex with someone and patiently listened to their bad story about losing a turtle in a sewer grate.
As soon as they said turtle, I was like, come on, guys, just fall in. I literally said fall in. That's what I wanted. I wanted them to just fall in.
Yeah. But not before he asks Joe if she's been on many dates. Has she fired up the old Hinge? It's like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah,
you literally
on, you know.
Fucked last night, you fucking poser. Joe says no dates, but she did make a date to do her birth chart with Allie, whom she is intimidated by. Mostly, she's like, Allie's beautiful. She's also in much better standing than everyone. She's way more put together. She's easier to watch for non-psychotic people. And she's probably 15 years younger than you are.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things to be jealous
she's cool.
of.
I mean, Allie's
yeah,
cool.
Allie, as we know, Allie's very cool and very level-headed and very smart.
Yeah.
Joe, I don't know about these things. I can't say. Meanwhile, after some Hollywood B-roll, some Atwater Village B-roll, and some West Hollywood B-roll, we go to the Belmont.
I mean, when you watch, like, watching this as somebody from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you're familiar or, if it was in your hometown and you saw one place and then they just, you know, it's somewhere completely, totally different.
Yeah.
It's really, it's interesting to see why they do that. I mean, yeah. I know it's just B-roll and it's just filler.
But it's just signs, though. Yeah. Why even have the different place? Like, yes, every city has signage. And we're seeing three of them now.
They like to go where I've done some stand-up, the Belmont.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
But they've been in the Belmont a lot.
They have
like an arrangement with them, for sure. Sandoval's in aloe. Everyone is wearing aloe yoga merchandise.
I mean, I didn't wear my aloe pants today. Because I'm not going to say. There's people in my life, I won't say who, that work at aloe. So I'm familiar with the ins a little
bit
of the ins.
When did aloe what happened and everyone was wearing aloe?
I don't know, but I have two pairs of aloe pants and they're each retail $140.
Can you hook me up? You're just blinking at me.
I was doing Morse code being...
No.
Yeah. How many blinks is that?
Okay, I don't know. I don't know. But they're the Belmont where Tom...
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sandoval's in his like all white.
It gives me so much anxiety.
It's very nerve wracking, and it's like he's leaning. He's also wearing his fucking Thunderbolt necklace. You know, like white nail polish. He's fucking lean into this, but do it more and better and more entertainingly so. They're at some kind of birthday, I think. It wasn't quite clear to me, but maybe I didn't watch closely enough. I was like, you're here to celebrate something. But then Katie and Ariana show up. They're also here to celebrate whomever's birthday is here. And Lala tells the audience in her talking head that this is a huge deal. Ariana is here to reclaim her friends from Tom. And yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's her job. This is what they're both paid to do, is be in the same room together.
And yeah, and it must be interesting for him to be like, oh, when she walks in the room, she's the interesting one.
Yeah.
It used to be I was the interesting one.
Yeah, I was on stilts.
Yeah.
And she was in a two-piece, like a onesie. Sucks for you. Also, you look, I do think he's been looking, Sandoval, very good this season. But this episode and the last episode, actually, I think Tahoe was kind of the breaking point for me. I was like, he's looking too fucking... He's looking tired.
I miss the mustache. Just seeing the flashback. Yeah. I like the mustache.
Yeah. You know, he looks like a fucking tennis coach, like an aging tennis coach. It's not like working for me. And he's really uncomfortable in this. He's like sulking in the corner. And he talks about going to take a shit. This is a lot of talk about taking a shit. And Schwartz is like, that's the best poop bathroom in all of West Hollywood. It's like, why are we listening to this dialogue?
Is there so little going on? And I think the thing is when he was talking about poop and wearing white, I don't know why. It's just really kind of like...
so gross.
Yeah.
Fucking... I also...
Are you really... do you really have to... Like, I don't know. I feel like something I just wouldn't think to do.
At a party that you know almost everyone in the room?
Or is it... There's so little for me to do right now. I need to make a grand statement.
Yeah, like a gross out.
Camera. Yeah, like I'm just going to be like, this is so this to me. I'm going to use this opportunity to poop.
It's like he's taking a note from the Book of Joe. Let's talk about poop and farts and beers.
Random.
Whoa.
Jerch. Jerch.com.
Exactly. Taints and jorts. But it's very sad. And I also don't want to think about Schwartz trying out all the West Hollywood bathroom. Like, who wants to take a shit in a bathroom at a party in a room of everyone they know?
Yeah.
And
that place is probably pretty, like, quarantined. It's probably, like, quarter, like, where it's just crew.
Yeah.
That's what's there.
Yeah. It's, like, cool, dude.
Also, I don't mean conspiratorial, but maybe he didn't even poop.
What?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe that was just for
shock value.
Yeah,
you mean to say that he didn't have to fucking go fucking hard in the bathroom?
I feel like that's the kind of dude who like does some kind of colonic before he leaves as lean as possible.
That's
seriously, I really feel like he's got that squared away before he leaves, and he doesn't go, oh, I might have to poop in like the next hour and a half. Let me just put on this white outfit and go. No, yeah, that's my take.
He had a home colonoscopy.
Yep.
Colonoscopy.
Yeah, yeah.
He just got fucking. He's devoid of anything in his body. He's like freeze dried at this point. Like there's nothing. He's light. He's limber and light for whatever comes his way. Well, that's even darker, I'd say. Meanwhile, out on the patio, Allie is talking to the girls, and she says that Joe asked for a read. And Ariana uses her new catchphrase she used with Sheena about Tom and Allie. She used with Sheena about Tom on Allie. She says, "You in danger, girl." Merch opportunity?
Yeah, I don't know.
"You in danger, girl." We get Joe's little backstory about how she was Dodie's best friend. Fucking yes, thank God. And then when news of the Bubbas, Schwartz and Katie breakup hit the public, Katie tells the girls that she got a text from Joe that was deranged. I mean, she didn't say deranged. I read it as deranged. The text was, quote, "Bieber loves you and I love you. And I'm so supporting of your inner thoughts and visions. / live in the moment. You're a gem and I've always respected you. Love you, XO Joe."
I mean, is he shipped off to prison? Like, I don't understand. Like, what a weird message.
It's like anyone haiku, to send anybody. It's like an advertisement for a water park haiku. Like, it's a very like camp letter. There's so much happening here. I don't know what to make of it except that like Joe has lost her mind and I need to see more of it. So I don't know why Katie is so shocked that weeks later Joe is shacking up with Schwartz in NoHo, you know, but whatever. She's offended, which of course she is. Yes. Then back inside the restaurant, Sheena goes over to Tom to tell him to maybe apologize to Katie for their restaurant perhaps contributing to the demise of their relationship. Sheena says he needs to not have such an ego and take some accountability. And Tom, it's the same conversation we've seen over and over, right? I also don't think that the restaurant, Schwartz and Sandy's, is the reason that Tom and Katie broke up. They were very toxic for many years. It was probably exacerbated it a little bit, but like that's not the reason. But also, Tom Sandoval was very shitty to Katie Maloney for many seasons, and he does owe her an apology. And she got angry about that last episode, and she gets angry about it this episode. Tom's not having it, though. Sheena is trying to get through to him for, you know, being a little bit self-aware over and over. He can't handle it. It's actually like boring, and I'm like, fucking, this is boring. Sheena leaves, and James comes by, and he's like, "You're going to burn every bridge around you, bro." Like, somehow James has to come in with his, like, 2 cents.
You don't really see much from this episode.
No, no. Or Graham. We don't see Graham at all.
It's been Graham heavy.
Graham's dead?
It's been Graham heavy for a bit.
Yeah. Graham hopefully is safe and alive. Tom's over it. He's going to go take a shit elsewhere in his fucking pristine aloe hat. Whatever. Okay. Later, it's Sheena and Brock's. Brock is trying to get Sheena to get a nanny, and then they go back and forth about their schedules. Who cares? Whatever. Belmont recap. Ariana conversation recap. I don't care. It's very boring. What's going to happen? Drama, hopefully, at some point. At Tom and Ariana's, they're prepping for game night, and Tom comes downstairs to try and apologize to Katie while Ariana, like, sneaks away. This is Katie in her best form, where Tom is, like, sulking. He's like, "I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I want to apologize." And Katie's like, "No. How about no? How about your action? How about your words mean nothing? Your actions are everything. You're not showing this to me." She's like, I love this, Katie.
Yeah.
Where she's like, "I don't give a fuck." Yeah. She is right. Tom gets defensive.
He probably thinks, like, me going, "Sorry," is everyone else's, like, grand gesture.
Oh,
yeah. Like,
you're
lucky to get that from
him.
He's
such a fucking, it's like, you have to grovel to this group for years and years. Look at what has happened in the past. You think after 2 months you saying sorry at the reunion and then like saying maybe a sorry. I think he said sorry maybe 3 times in this whole season. You think that's going to do it for this group? I don't fucking think so. You fucking lean into being a asshole. He's like middling between asshole and fucking repentant.
I think when he's like, he always says like, "I've been apologizing," but no. People have been asking you to for quite a bit.
Yeah.
You haven't been doing it. So you're taking it as if you have been apologizing.
Yeah.
But you haven't. You've just been being asked a lot.
Yeah. And you've been dancing around conversations about apologies and remorse and all of that
you're
shit.
You're discussing apologies in like an academic and in theoretic way. Yeah,
exactly.
Sure. But not in an actual way.
Exactly. So, you know, nothing comes of the scene. Katie does make a good point, though. which I was like, oh, interesting, that I never thought about. She says she walked away from a 12-year marriage to be happy. And, you know, like, that was not easy for her. But she took her fucking past lives, big dick energy elsewhere. And she said it was like a big move. And again, she was maybe 12 years too late, but she did it. And she didn't cheat on anyone to do it.
Yeah. And what, you know, it's easy to be cowardly. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to, like, do the thing. And if you do the thing, you've earned the right to be on a high horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah. He didn't do the thing.
No, he didn't
do
the thing.
Sorry, he wants that high horse.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to do the thing.
If you're talking to someone who's did the thing, then yeah. You have to be ready to be like, yeah. I'm going to, like, stand on.
And he's not ready. He's not ready. Ugh. Tom says in his talking head that he did take accountability at the reunion. Yeah, for 2 seconds. Like, you're fucking dumb. Like, again, he's so lacking self-awareness. It's comical and boring. You know, it, like, bubbles into, like, being, like, kind of ridiculous. But mostly it's fucking boring. And this conversation peters out. Upstairs, Tom storms upstairs. Upstairs, though, he's feverishly journaling. Which the journaling storyline is something that I can't
get enough of. The morning
pages, just fucking feverishly journaling. He says in this case, he's journaling to get closer to Rachel, and also, like, not drinking to get closer to Rachel, even though he is drinking. And this is all fucking bull. This is like him trying to, like, again, in front of the cameras, make it seem like he's an empathetic character. He's not. He also shows us these pictures of him and Rachel. Her face is blurred out, of course, because she's not in the season, that he brought with him to New Zealand when he was on Special Forces to, like, show his castmates. Like, I'm like, are you in the Civil War? Like, you brought photos of your loved ones,
yeah.
Journaling fevers.
Dearest Rachel,
back.
I write to you with a heavy heart.
Yes, exactly. The war scandal has torn me up. Do you still love me? You know, he's showing all this to Schwartz, who has wandered in. It's so fucking cringe. It's so cringy. It's, like, very, very almost at points painful to watch. The most painful when he goes into his closet to change and he starts changing shirts and crying.
He's like, wardrobe change?
He's like, I'm being treated like Scott Peterson.
I mean, wow. Little true crimey.
Whoa.
Little true crime throwback.
Talk about a backdoor pilot with Ghost Town.
I mean, come on.
Is this where we launch into Peterson?
Yeah. It's like, check out our episode on Scott Peterson on Ghost Town. No, we didn't do a Scott Peterson episode.
No, not yet. Not yet.
But he said... The best part was, and he's like, isn't it? And when Schwartz was like, isn't that the guy who killed his wife? And allegedly, dude.
Oh my God. I have that written down as well.
Dude.
Allegedly.
If people didn't register that, it's like low key, high key, one of the most interesting parts of this episode.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you had a conversation with somebody and you were talking to anybody and they were just like, oh yeah, it's like I killed his wife, not allegedly, you'd be like, say what? Say
yeah.
Who?
Which is like,
sure, it's allegedly, but also it's not.
No,
whatever.
It has been adjudicated. I know there's some, like, Innocence Project stuff happening, but, like, it mostly serves us as a look into the interior world, into the interior world of Tom Sandoval, where he, in his head, Scott Peterson.
Not going to even ask about OJ.
Wow.
Will not ask about OJ.
You know, these innocent men are being fucking raked over the coals. Can you imagine? Scott Peterson? OJ Simpson?
How is that on your mind? How is that your go-to? Like a 2002, whatever. A 20-year, like, it's not even, I mean, it's high profile, but it's, I don't know, that's your thing where you can just so quickly go to be like, I feel like Scott Peterson. I feel like I've been wrong. Like, Scott Peterson's been wrong.
It's just like that New
Yorker.
Even
Schwartz was like, say what, dude?
Yeah, Schwartz is like ready to like crawl. Schwartz is like, I went to your fucking dumb pool party and now this? It's just like, it's like Nick Vial's podcast. It's like, Schwartz, you know what?
Also,
you know better.
Do they still have a restaurant?
I don't know.
A bar and a restaurant? Yeah. Is that still real?
I mean, I guess
that's right near me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right near me. I could probably just, anytime I go to Gelson's, I can just look.
I will say my brother has been taking improv classes at UCB, and afterwards, they will sometimes make themselves go to Schwartz and Sandy's because it's the only bar open at 3 p.m. Yeah. After the shows.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the only reason that I've been there the past couple times.
The last time I was there, it was after your brother's
You know? So I guess it exists to serve something, but I don't know.
I think we just need to go there next time for you to steal a menu or something.
Yeah.
We need to go there to steal.
Yeah. Oh, I will. And don't Hopefully no one's listening. Yeah. They're not. Don't worry. But yeah, we got to go there to like
we'll do a giveaway.
Take something for our time capsule. Yeah. Yeah, or our fans. Yeah. So that's right. You guys.
Say fan. You say fan.
I did steal last time I was there, though. I stole a handful of gummy sharks from behind the bar. I was that drunk.
Yeah.
That goes to show what desperate of a situation I was in. Anyway, God, the party downstairs has begun. Schwartz doesn't know how to help Tom except Roland Jax. He's like, oh, we got to break the Raquel spell, you know? So he's laying the foundation that Jax is coming in later. Downstairs, here we go. Nothing really noteworthy happens except that we know that Sheena was in an orgy with John Mayer, which is something.
They don't mention John Mayer on the show.
No.
But we know that's what it is.
Yeah, she says, let's just say my body was a wonderland. I was like...
So when she said A-list, right, first thing I thought was like, okay, what do you think your R-list? Do you think you're B-list? Because if that's B-list, I want to know who A-list is. And I guess John Mayer's A-list.
I guess I would say he's A-list. It's weird because it's like when I think of, you know, A-list, yeah. I'm thinking like a fucking.
DiCaprio.
Yeah. We're thinking Beyonce.
Yeah.
You know, Mayer?
I don't. I'm going to say he's not. He's not A-list, but he's not A-list.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a pretty consistent force. Okay. But it's interesting because, like, Sheena, you are a celebrity. But when have you ever heard other celebrities calling each other
A-list or B-list?
It's very gauche.
Yeah.
It's like, there's Sheena from Azusa coming out wanting to be a famous pop star. You know? That's kind of sweet. But that's all we get really from that party. The next morning, Schwartz get a text from Jack saying, quote, got your message, got to check with Brittany, but should be okay. Of course, it's like, you know, your whole fucking framework of like, I'm a good dad in the valley. We're setting
Hey, Brittany, is it okay if I promote this new show
we're both on?
Yeah, I guess you can go over there and essentially promote the new show we're on.
Got to check in with Brittany. Got to check in with the wife. Happy wife, happy life, right?
Now, do you think he does that when he's talking to other women?
I gotta check in with Brittany before I fucking suck on your toes. I hope so.
Which is romantic.
Jax.
That's old fashioned.
Okay, Jax. I'll feed Cruz over here. I don't know how did her accent get even more so?
Honestly,
she's been in Los Angeles for 10 years.
I really feel like it's hammed up.
I love it. So Joe gets a read with Allie. Joe looks insane still. Allie says that Joe and Schwartz have the House of Friendship activated, and Joe visibly looks upset. And then Allie's like, I mean, friends date too. Allie just like, she's like, no, lots of people have dated other friends. Good. You should be best friends with your.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at TomTom, James, the Toms, and Brock are all convening, and Schwartz is like, not my girlfriend. Not my girlfriend. I don't want to date. She's just a friend. And then.
I'm surprised he isn't gaslighting people. Be like, she's not real. Who is this person?
She's not real. You've seen Joe?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is Joe in the room right
now?
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
The next step is that.
Yeah, she's my roommate. Sure. She's a plant. But I do love how Sandoval says, Joe and Rachel are the only two girls you've hooked up with, two Schwartz, and Katie has a problem with them. Wow. Wow, Katie, what a bitch. She has a problem with this psychotic fucking woman that you cohabitated with near immediately after you broke up with your wife, and then Raquel, who blew up fucking everything and is, you know, just part of this giant fucking friend breaking, you know, show making bombshell that, oh, it's interesting Katie doesn't like these two people. Huh. I wonder why. Probably because Katie's a bitch. You know? It's a little more complicated than that, but thank you, Sandoval. Schwartz says, not that it's like embarrassing to be in a relationship with Joe. I just don't want one. He keeps going. And then Joe to Allie is making a defense for herself. She's like, I've been called an anorexic crackhead whore by Katie, which I'm like, this is Katie in her best form. This is tequila Katie.
It's part of the price of admission, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, you're in this fucking deranged reality show. Schwartz wants it just to be like old times, but it will never be. Though Jax can show up sometimes and it can be a fun fight from yesteryear. And of course he does. Schwartz hopes that when he invited Jax, that maybe Jax could shed some light on being a philanderer and a general shithead. But he can't shed light on it because the reality is they've all been this for many, many years. Lying, cheating assholes. And so it's just going to become a fun fight. And it does. I mean, Jax comes in, guns blazing, tells Sandoval that he looked like shit on social media immediately. I was just like, fuck yes. You know, Sandoval's already fucking pissed. He's like, not the nail polish. Get rid of that. Like, we need Jax. We need Jax. I'm sorry.
He must have also felt like, oh, Jax is right now at this very moment. He's the star of what's happening right now. And I'm not. Like, I have nothing to contribute. Mm-hmm. He's got everything to gain and to contribute. Yeah. I'm just spinning my wheels.
Yeah. And this is Jax in his prime where he doesn't have to defend himself. He just has to lay in on someone else, go for someone else, talk about his own imperfections, but really in the context of like shaming someone else for not doing the right thing. This is like prime Jax. And also, Sandoval probably feels bad because having Jax in this scene right now reveals as to why he's not the number one guy in this group. Jax still is, even though Jax doesn't look that great, honestly. He's getting, he looks like he's like a fucking villain. He's like a train robber.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't like his face. And I'm just like not into like the fucking slick hair. They like love doing that like slick, like tight cut thing. Like very, I don't know, whatever. This is like a very, very Valley aesthetic that we find out when we go to the Valley. So Jax is like, you don't think you need to humble yourself? And Sandoval's like, not to you. And Jax is like, the whole world has talked shit about you. You know, it's great. It's great. And then he leaves, you know, after the fight doesn't really become anything. It's just like a fun fucking throwback fight. He walks out of Tom Tom and we go to the Valley. We go straight to the Valley, into the Valley pilot. And I love it. I mean, this is very smart because Jax fights like Jax. We see Jax in his fucking best form. He's laying into Sandoval like nobody has. Like nobody has. And it's invigorating.
I mean, you realize you need literally anybody new introduced into this to make it interesting. Because the people that are there, it's not, I mean, I don't know. Is it enough to make what's happened, is it interesting or am I jaded or I don't know what?
No, I mean, they're just all too careful with each other. Like, we need the people who are willing to blow shit up.
Yeah.
Sandoval did. He was willing to do that, but now he has to lean into it and he's not. He's not like, yeah, I fucking love Raquel. Like, he's doing a little bit of pining, a little bit of like whiny apology tour, but we need a Jax here to be like, I don't apologize for anything. Yeah. I don't regret anything.
I haven't been on the show. I have nothing to, I mean, he makes a point like, yeah, he's like, you know, you talking about me on podcasts. And he's like, yeah, everybody is.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, don't do the thing then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do the thing because you know if the roles were reversed, it would be the same thing happening.
Yeah.
It's not like Tom Sandoval would be like, you know what, I'm not going to talk about this.
Yeah.
It's not right.
No, exactly.
I don't need content right now.
Yeah. No, exactly. And, you know, Jax, I kind of wish Sandoval was Jax of all because it would be a fucking nightmare. It'd be amazing.
And also kind of think of it, I bet at least watching the show, does Jax feel like he's like, I'm really not missing out on anything by not being on the show.
Yeah.
Is like Stassi missing out on anything by not being on this show except for like another like bump in like, you know, visuals or something like that. There's just so little going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To what end? Like, to what? There is no thing happening. Like, what's to what end? Like, what is everyone hoping happens? What is everyone hoping to learn by the end of the season?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Nothing.
I don't know. And then, so again, I missed Jax and I missed Kristen. And now we go to the Valley and we get a little, and again, the pilot. You did not watch the whole thing.
I did not watch the whole thing.
Yeah. What did you think of what you did watch?
I really liked the one dude's house. He doesn't live in the Valley.
He lives behind the Chateau Marmont.
Well, yeah. I was like, I want to see more of this house.
Yeah.
And then you had one guy who was like, you may know me. You may have probably seen me on TV before. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe on iCarly in 2007.
Yeah. Or as The Walking Dead.
Yeah. I was like, no, I would not have. I'm a grown man. I would not have recognized you from that. Maybe some people did, but it's like, how would I recognize you then looking at you right now? Don't you recognize you from 20 years ago? Not that there's anything wrong with that and you're working and that's wonderful, but don't say it as like, oh, God, no water. You know what I mean? Do I look familiar? Yeah. 2007's iCarly, and the way my face looks when you hear voices.
Yeah.
When I'm doing voiceover.
Remember the screams from The Walking Dead? The one scream that you hear? That's me.
Yeah.
So you probably know me from that. You probably identified me from this talking head, and you're like, what's that voice from? Oh, a shrill zombie scream from The Walking Dead? Dude.
And I'm sure they're all fine. Here's the one thing that got me. This honestly kind of just – it upset me too much. I couldn't watch it. I could not watch that one dude's helmet on his head. I couldn't watch the one dude's helmet on his head. I was like, dude, you're not fooling anybody with that. I don't even think it's a transplant. I mean, tell me, I'm a grown man. I'm familiar with like the woes of losing your hair. I was like, no one's hairline starts above your – It's not even a what do we call like a juvenile hairline. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, he wants it to look juvenile. He wants it to look like very like flip, like Bieber-y. It's the hairline was inexplicable. Like it's so.
I think I honestly,
you can see it. You can see the back, the line, and I was like, yeah, you're not fooling fucking anybody.
And it doesn't look good. It doesn't look, and it, you can make it look good and natural if you got the money, the means, and you live in Los Angeles. I was like, who do you think you're fooling against? Also, it's like, it doesn't even look like your natural hair color.
I love it.
Honestly, it was
dark.
Upsetting.
It was like dark as night.
It was, and it's just like his eye, eyebrows were going. And I'm not saying this to be like, oh, hey, you shouldn't do things to, if you want to change or whatever. But also, like, don't do it like that and expect to, I don't, if he had hair down to his feet, would you be like, oh, that looks great, man? No, we know it's not real. Like, we know it's not real. And it doesn't look good because you're also a very kind of like, is it alabaster? Like, your skin is very like
light
and the hair is so dark.
Yeah.
It just, nothing matches. And it's hard not to, and I'm not the only one. I had to check to make sure because I was like, you know, I'm not trying to shame someone for like improving, you know, being things more confident, but it's like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it. I love that this is like a fucking off the back of the truck, like fourth multiplicity of Vanderpump Rules. We've got, what's the woman who used to work at Sir way back when? She's on it. We've got Kristen at 40 trying to get knocked up by this tiny little man.
Yeah, I was like, where did, how did that, he doesn't live here. Then you show him chopping wood. I'm sure he's a very nice person. But I was like, a lot of this is like, I don't understand like any, like, I just don't understand.
We've got Janet, who's arguably like the coolest. She's very pregnant, but she's kind of the friends of like Ariana and Tom. And like she's in the Vanderpump world. I've seen her before on their Instagrams. Then we have like Jackson Brittany and you know, a bunch of other fucking weirdos.
And he's like where he's got the checklist. She's like, oh, I had, you know, my whatever, she had some work done. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I'm working on Jack's sports bar, and then I am also a podcast. Like, he's like almost like listing resume to be like, here's what I'm working on, everybody. Which is an interesting kind of obviously telegraphed thing. It's like, yeah, do we know?
Yeah,
guys, come on, have a little. You've been doing this for a long time. Have a little, you know, zhuzh to what you do. Make it seem a little bit natural.
Yeah,
like, I am working on this and also that, and then AI.
They have to get all this stuff in. Because I think this episode was not that great, and I'll do a little bit of a short but comprehensive recap because
– I'll let you handle that. I couldn't get into too much of it. It wasn't it wasn't so bad, right? I just couldn't – the hair helmet.
The hair helmet's amazing.
And I just couldn't get – like, it was just so much I couldn't get into it. But I liked seeing Kristen.
I fucking love Kristen. I love that she's still getting shat on by Jax and disrespected – but by some people, and other people are like a little bit more diplomatic, but I know it's going to get messy and I can't wait. And it just feels like these people are, they have the right amount of unhingedness that I think I can follow and enjoy.
And there'll be some crossover maybe to kind of keep it.
Lala and Sheena are at, Janet has a party in the pilot. They're there. They don't really bring that much.
I love the Valley. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like my LA family is in the in-laws are in the Valley. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the Valley is a very wonderful place, and I'm excited that it's being put on the map.
Yeah, let's get messy, people, and I'm ready, and I think they're ready too.
So maybe, make sure you've subscribed and rated and reviewed this.
Yeah.
VPR Now is our Instagram if you want to say hello.
Yeah.
And then you think you're going to put out a recap of this?
Or? Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so get
soon.
That.
We'll see you next year or so.
We'll see how you know.
See, I think it has potential. Maybe I'm just being optimistic, but we all need something to keep our lives going. That's what I need.
Great.
Great. This one's for you
tonight. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.